Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man, you ready to be a Falcon, bro?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Hey, man, you think we flew across the country not to make you a Falcon, bro?
Come on. Uh-huh. I'm excited, man. I appreciate it. Yes, sir. I'm ready.
Hey, man, let's get out here, man. Right? I'm loving it, bro.
It's like a TikTok video. 1201, Cellini DiMino, The Fan. 680 and 93.7 FM. TPC Sugarloaf is where we are. The Mitsubishi Electric Classic opening round happening as we speak. 12 o'clock hour brought to you by Wade Ford. At Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, you'll discover great prices, flexible finance options, our top trading values, and even mobile service.
Well, I would say this then. Next year for the first round, just keep an eye on the Falcons plane and how many people get on it. We're going to know who the first round pick is a couple of weeks in advance.
I guess if you fly cross country, you got to take that guy in the first round. This guy right now,
he spent so much on fuel.
Joining us is getting ready to face the Guardians over the weekend, and he's a record holder for the Braves, as in record holds. A.J. Minter joining us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. A.J., always good to have you on. How you doing this afternoon?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain.
All right. Did you know there was such a thing as a holds record and that Mike Remlinger actually had it for this club? Yes or no?
People have told me that I was kind of, coming up on it. So I knew it was definitely a possibility this year. And, looking back, it's, I told someone, so when I'm done playing, I think I'll sit back and realize it's a special thing. But right now I'm just trying to, get 100 more. And hopefully it's with Atlanta Braves.
So what you're saying is you didn't have a new Corvette just waiting right inside your parking space down below the stadium after this record.
No, I did not.
Yeah.
A.J. Minter with us, and you don't really need to drive to work. You're down there in the battery. I know people spot you all the time. What's it like to just walk to work every day?
Right. I mean, it's super convenient. I think my family and friends, when they come visit me and stay in town for a week, they just stay with me in my two-bedroom apartment, and they enjoy it. I just love being in the battery. And like you said, I like to interact with fans and just, hang out with everyone. It's special.
Does it make it a little bit too easy for those family and friends to maybe just, they don't leave as quickly as maybe they're supposed to?
Sometimes they don't even ask. They just show up.
They just show up, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think, too, whenever your family comes in town, you kind of have to, entertain everyone and hang out with them. But I just tell them, hey, you're free, go hang out in the battery, and I just go to work, and I don't have to worry about them being entertained.
Tell me about this group. There were a couple of changes to the bullpen, and we've talked a lot about how the bullpen is sort of its own separate country. So far, through spring training and now the first month of the season, tell us something about this group.
Yeah, I mean, we knew coming into spring training that we had another really strong bullpen. Guys that have a lot of experience and high leverage, late innings, and it was an exciting group. And Alex obviously did a, amazing job again in the offseason acquiring these guys and bringing back, Joe Jimenez and Pierce Johnson and obviously adding, Bummer and bringing, Tyler Matzek back. We knew this was going to be a strong group, and we're obviously off to a good start. And it's a fun group as always. Like you said, we're obviously super close with each other, and we take pride with that. And obviously there's that, friendly competition as well. So couldn't speak any better about the guys, and hopefully, everyone just, stays healthy and keep this thing going.
Pull back the curtain a little bit. What's the conversation like, if it's a conversation or if it's just a nod or a quick sentence, to Rick Kranitz about go or no go on a given night for somebody in this bullpen? How does this team handle that part of it?
What was the question?
So the go or no go, like I'm available tonight or I'm not. Yeah. How does that work with Rick to Snit? Like, what's the how does that get communicated with you guys?
Yeah, I mean, we go out for, you know, pitcher stretch every day, you know, at 4 o'clock. And, for example, if, you know, if I throw 2 days in a row and, you know, Cranny will, for the most part, come out to us during, you know, pitcher stretch and say, hey, you're down today. Make sure, you know, get what you need to get done, whether that's in the weight room or, you know, take a day off from, you know, playing catch that day. Just give your arm a rest. So they do a really good job of communicating that with us early on. That way we have a whole day to, you know, do whatever we need to do. And there's some days, you know, especially later on in the year where, you know, some days we have to, you know, go 3 days in a row and making sure that we're honest with each other and have that communication of, you know, do I feel good? Do, you know, am I a little hanging a little bit? Am I sore? So it's that trust you have to have with one each other. And, you know, but us relievers, we're very rarely that we're ever going to say that we don't want the ball, you know, whether we are sore, but we have to make sure we do a good job of making sure we're healthy and look at the bigger picture and, you know, get into the postseason and win the division.
A.J. Minter with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. You were fired up the other night getting that strikeout in the 10th inning, but that's one of those deals where things change quickly. Is that a tough mental adjustment to make, knowing that maybe the game was over and all of a sudden you're out there pitching?
Yeah, it happened pretty quick. We were obviously, you know, became like we came out with the sweep, but, you know, pitching in those extra innings is always super stressful with a guy on second base. I hate it as a pitcher, but looking back, I mean, it's obviously a good rule to have, especially in the regular season. But luckily, you know, Austin Riley came up with a huge defensive play for us right there and throwing the guy out at home. And, but yeah, like you said, getting that huge strikeout against Jazz, I don't think I've struck him out yet in my career. So that was definitely a good one right there for me.
Yeah, I guess after having to come into game one of a World Series in a similar situation when Charlie Morton broke his leg, that kind of pales in comparison. So maybe that was a silly question. So I apologize.
No, anytime, you know, I come into, you know, a tough situation, I always look back and I've, you know, pitched at the highest level, and there's no reason why I can't come in and do it again.
Do you think they asked anybody in any bullpen anywhere in Major League Baseball about that run around second thing in extra innings? Seems to me like you guys might not have been included in that conversation.
I feel like every rule that's being implemented now is always in favor of hitters. It's never, you know, helping pitchers out. And but if the whole league has to adjust, then you know, I guess we'll just have to keep making adjustments and keep getting better. So I think us pitchers are just doing too good of a job nowadays.
At what point did everybody in the bullpen take their cleats off when Max was throwing the other night, just saying, all right, boys, I think we're going to sit this one out?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're always ready, but I mean, the way Max, you know, threw that game was unbelievable, and it was, you know, big for us bullpen guys just to, you know, give us a day, and it was a nice mental break, and, you know, as well as a physical break. So Max is, you know, obviously he had that slow start, but he's going to be Max free. He's going to figure it out, and we saw him, you know, do it the other night.
A lot of conversations about arm health. We have talked a lot about the baseball. I don't know if you saw Tyler Glasnow with his video a couple of years ago talking about the ball itself. Have you thought about it? Your thoughts on the ball and the idea that rosin's been used since 1887 and Delaware mud's been used since 1954 and nothing better has been come up with?
Yeah, that is, I mean, it's always a discussion. I feel like every year the baseball changes, you know, whether it feels in your hand, the laces are a little different, the size of the ball, and even it's when I get a, you know, a ball thrown to me from the umpire during the game, every ball doesn't feel consistently the same. And so there is some, you know, room for improvements there. And I wish that is something, you know, people take a, you know, a deeper dive into and make sure, you know, make sure they're looking out for us pitchers, our health, our arms. And because as you see, it's becoming a serious issue, and I think we need to, you know, get on top of it.
Do you have to grip the ball harder Are there certain batches of balls even that you just feel like I got to wrap it a little bit tighter to make sure that I control this thing?
I mean, yeah, for sure. Especially with the pitch clock now, you don't have time to even go to the back of the mound and, you know, get a, you know, grab that rosin bag or just make sure you have a, you know, wipe the sweat off your hands or whatever it may be. You just don't have time to do that anymore. So every pitch, it's you're never feeling comfortable. But like I said, we're never going to make excuses because, you know, every pitcher in baseball is having to, you know, do the same thing. But whenever you're talking about health concerns, it's always scary.
Well, AJ, we appreciate the time. Best of luck. Continued success. Congratulations on getting that holds record. We'll see you down at the park this weekend.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, AJ.
Anytime. AJ Minter with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Chris Sale gets the start tonight at 7:20. 7:20 again tomorrow night. Charlie Morton against the Guardians. Then on Sunday afternoon at 1:35, Bryce Elder getting another start.
Hey, real quick, do you think he has like a black card at Antico?
I know he's always there.
You think he runs a tab, like they just roll his tab and they just sort of keep it and he pays it monthly like he would at a country club? You know, like, I don't even know if you know this. I just found this out. I swear to God.
You just sign for things?
Yeah, you have.
And you pay the tab at the end of the month?
Right, but you know that you have a limit. You have to spend a minimum. I don't think I ever knew that. Like, when you join a country club, you have to spend a minimum at the 19th hole, at the restaurant, at the bar. I don't think I ever knew that.
I think a guy like Ray Giudice would know that. Very successful attorney at law. He also brings us the Hardball interview of the week each and every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock.
This is Ralph Terry, who gave up the home run to Bill Mazeroski, but played for the Yankees in 61 and 62. He became the 62 World Series MVP, so when I had a chance to ask him about some of his teammates, here's what he said about Mickey Mantle.
The first time I heard about him, I had a friend, a pitcher, who lived down the street from me, Norm Stanley. They went and played Commerce. Well, they came home and we lost. I said, how'd you do, Norm? And he said, I did okay, but that Mantle, he hit two home runs. They hit him in the football bleachers. I lost 3-2. That's the first time I heard about Mickey.
Can you imagine the legend of Mickey Mantle?
So those are like 50s in Oklahoma? Foot home runs.
Yeah. He's just saying that he hit him out of baseball fields and put him onto the football field. And the guy's laughing. His buddy is telling him, the guy hit three home runs. We lose 3-2. And all you could do is laugh. So that's the legend of Mickey Mantle. They grew up in Oklahoma, like a couple of towns apart.
The Ray Giudice interview of the week, like we said, each and every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. The Braves yesterday outriding David Fletcher down to AAA Gwinnett, and they make things official this morning. Ozzie Albies has been activated. He'll be in the lineup tonight at second base and get a nice round of applause.
Man, if it wasn't for that draft last night, we could have taken your calls about David Fletcher. 404-231-1680.
If only your favorite David Fletcher moment. You know what, though? Kudos to him and Guillorme. They did their job.
No doubt.
They did the little things here and there that helped the Braves continue their winning ways.
And by the way, Nick and I, at Chris Domino, at Cellini Nick, we are absolutely on social media looking at some of your responses, not to just the Twitter question of the day, but your thoughts on the whole thing. I think some of the anger has dissipated. Some of it. Not all of it. There are people who are still angry. I find it, I almost want to call it comical. I find it comical that these grown men are hugging each other in these draft rooms like they just cured cancer. Like, what are you so excited about? You got a 21-year-old who you don't know if you can play. You're going to pay millions of dollars. It's like these guys, they're all rich, right? Most of them, they're all rich.
For the most part,
okay.
Yeah.
And even the guys who work for the teams probably make a pretty good living,
they're
right?
Doing okay.
Okay. These things are penny stocks. And when you hit, it's great. When you miss, like, you got to tell your family we're broke. Like, that's the yin and the yang of this. Why is everybody so happy with their draft pick? Some of them are going to be out of work in 2 years.
You just never know. It's a crap shoot. The Braves come into this series. They swept the Marlins, as we all know. They're 9-1 over their last 10 games. They're plus 44 when it comes to run differential. The Guardians come in plus 49 run differential.
Crazy.
They're 18-7. Those are your WellStar Well stats of the day. From managing chronic conditions to staying on top of screenings, the experts at WellStar are going to partner with you to help you feel your best. Together, we can create a personalized game plan to help keep you healthy. Visit WellStar.com. Today, WellStar, more than healthcare, people
can
care.
I give a preview of the conversation that's coming up with Phil Simms?
Sure.
Okay. I'm not sure it's going to help, but I think Phil Simms might make some of you a little less angry this afternoon than you were last night.
Phil Simms will talk about Michael Penix and the Falcons.
Maybe he won't.
And the NFL draft. He is scheduled to join us next as we come to you from TPC Sugarloaf, the site of the Mitsubishi Electric Classic. Cellini Domino, it's the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats.
Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Michael Penix Jr.
What's up? How you doing?
How you doing, man? You at home in Tampa?
Yes, sir.
Who's there with you?
I'm with everybody. The whole town here.
Are they excited?
Yeah, they excited. Everybody excited.
Hey, look, man, we're really excited. And obviously you're a special person. You're a special player. And that's why we're turning this card in right now, right? We want you to come here and be a part of something special, okay?
Yes, sir.
Sounds so normal. I mean, everybody inside the building, Flowery Branch is happy. Outside the building, based on what we're seeing on social media, not so much.
Yeah. I will say, I was thinking about all these guys hugging each other. The last time I saw that many guys in dark suits hugging each other was at a funeral. And I'm not telling you that's what every draft pick is going to...
It's an interesting correlation.
But, I mean, they're all hugging each other like they invented something.
Well, Michael Penix is going to talk to the media later on today at Flowery Branch, 12 o'clock hour, as we are here at the Mitsubishi Electric Classic. TPC Sugarloaf is brought to you by Wade Ford. Phil Simms, you talked to him earlier today. He's got some strong opinions to share.
The player and the situation. And we'll talk with Phil Simms coming up in a second. We're calling him on a landline, by the way.
That's good.
Yeah.
Landlines are good.
Adam asked me if he's a 1220 guest or a 1230 guest. How insulting is that? He's a 1220 guest. He should have already been on with us.
We saved the very, very long segments for Phil Simms. And like we said, he's got strong opinions. We've got strong opinions. Everybody has strong opinions. The one universal way of thinking, though, when you talk about what the Falcons did last night, is the fact that if people are going to be critical, they're not necessarily critical of the player, Michael Penix. Mm-hmm. They're critical of why the Falcons decided to take Michael Penix and sit him for 2 years. That's the thing that nobody seems to understand.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Stall for a second. I got to send Adam Phil Simms' cell phone number, if you can actually just keep that for one second.
You can't talk and do that at the same time?
Well, listen, I'm
just... Challenge for you now?
Yeah, a little bit. I got to be honest. It is a little bit. I'm not really sure why.
There's a lot more questions than answers. Number one, do we believe that Arthur Blank was the guy, and this was the story, right before Kirk Cousins, when free agency hit, did sign with the Falcons? He was the guy that said, we need to break the bank. And the flip side is, was it Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris that said, you know what, on second thought, we are having buyer's remorse, and for that reason, we need to draft Michael Penix. Either way, you've got something that seems to be far removed from collaboration.
And what are you
doing? The word that they love to use.
Yeah, what are you doing to the young man? I mean, do you think there's any... Again, he'll catch a little bit of shrapnel. He didn't do anything. He didn't draft himself. But you really have got to be really good, because we might send a quarterback who plays well for 2 years for a very hefty number. We might send him away anyway. And you have to be the guy who, if you go to the playoffs but don't win the Super Bowl, well, it must be a reason we picked you. You must be the reason we go to the Super Bowl.
I go back to what our friend Billy Devaney, longtime GM in the NFL, had to say. When you prioritize your draft, must-haves, as in this is what we need, this is what we cannot go without, this is something that we can use, and then there's luxuries. Well, if you're the Falcons, you needed help. You needed corner help. You needed edge rusher help. You needed receiver help, primarily edge rusher. And you did none of those things, and I know.
You're not better this morning. Not better this morning.
We've got more picks tonight. We've got more picks tomorrow. But as of right now, you're not a better football team, because this guy isn't playing for 2 years.
Yeah.
Your eighth overall pick. You tell me the last time a top 10 pick didn't play for not one but 2 years. That was the pitch to the fan base, because I don't recall that happening.
At the most important position in the game. I don't mind a guy sitting. I don't. Maybe there should be a little bit more of it. I do think that he's going to be looking around in October when the other five guys are starting football games, and he's going to be thinking, I think I'm better than him, and him, and I'm not even playing.
All right, let's talk to Phil Simms from CBS. He joins us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Phil, a pleasure having you on the program, as always.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Chris, Nick. I hope you're doing well. Boy, you got a lot to talk about. And I don't know how you felt about the draft, but the pick by the Atlanta Falcons, Well, there you go. You got shows for weeks and months to go because of this.
All right.
A lot of content, Phil. You're right about that.
So, by the way, you are the only person in my phone who actually says landline or cell, as in if there's a choice, which I find very funny. Good for you for holding on.
Well, I must not have held on because I picked it up twice, and I'm screaming in the phone, and it's not working. So I can't remember the last time I actually talked on the phone.
Tell everybody, did I have to tell you what your landline number was this morning, yes or no?
Oh, I did. I was hoping you wouldn't tell everybody that, but yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, give me the landline number, and I went, oh, wait. And then I remembered the last four digits. I couldn't think of the first three.
You did. So before we get to the player himself, Michael Penix, and I do know that you have something coming out next week where you're going to be talking about all these quarterbacks that were drafted. Before the player himself, tell me what you thought of the situation picking him.
Oh, well, there's a lot there. Well, first off, I'm going to give a lot of stuff. Next Tuesday, I'm going to shoot a thing with my young son, Matt Sims Complete. It's a podcast we have. And we're going to show video. I'm going to show you all the good. Then I'm going to show you the bad. And I hope it helps fans understand more. And I'm excited about doing it. I've been doing this all offseason, talking about these quarterbacks. And my opinion changes from time to time because why? I get a little more information, but really, I don't know what to say except a really interesting situation now down in Atlanta. That's an understatement. Chris, when you called me, I was fired up. I was ready. Oh, okay, all right. I'm this and that. But then I've been thinking about it, and I will say this right away: Kirk Cousins called Michael Penix. But boy, it puts Kirk Cousins. It's like you gave him something to carry. It's just too heavy. Because we know first-round quarterbacks, somebody's sitting there. As soon as he throws a couple incompletions in training camp, somebody's going to write. Well, Kirk Cousins just doesn't have it like we thought he would. I don't know. I'm exaggerating, but that's how it goes. I've been living in this world up here with the New York Giants and their quarterbacks for many, many years. Daniel Jones, hey, what did they do on the radio this morning here locally about the draft? Ah, well, we didn't get a quarterback. I mean, oh, my God. If they got a quarterback here in New York, it would have been, I think, a bad move because it would have been nonstop by everybody. Why didn't they get a quarterback to replace Daniel Jones? So
what are your thoughts on Penix coming to the Falcons?
Well, okay. First off, it is tough for the quarterback, Kirk Cousins. I do believe that, the Falcons don't play well early, this, that, anything. We know there's going to be a little outcry because everybody loves the new toy. But I said to Chris this morning, Nick, and I believe this, once you see Michael Penix on the field throwing the football, you're going to, oh, my God, I haven't seen this before. And you guys had Michael Vick down there. I'm telling you, this guy's arm's better than Michael Vick's. Or if it's not, it's more consistent. I mean, he's a terrific, one of the best throwers of the football I've watched in the draft or coming into the draft, maybe ever. I mean, I'm trying to think of guys. I mean, Justin Herbert comes to mind. There's, a few that could really, really throw. And Michael Penix is that guy. And he doesn't need space, room, or anything. He can change his arm any way he wants. And there's two things that happen. He can throw it with power anytime he wants. And you wait till you see how hard the ball spins. Oh, my God. And why do I say that? Because I talk to a lot of receivers even to this day. They love quarterbacks that can throw it fast or throw it hard. And when the ball is rotating, it just makes it a lot easier to catch. And they say the same thing to me. It's like a union. Well, yeah, I want the ball as fast as you can get it to me. Well, all I can tell you is look out when Michael's in there because it's going to come fast and it's going to be accurate and it's going to be easy to catch.
All right, let's say put on your GM hat for a second. You've evaluated the quarterback. You really like him a lot. You really like him a lot.
I like him, yeah. Would I have taken him at eight? Let's go into that. I wouldn't have because I think he could have been taken a little later. But, it is a quarterback, and that's where Atlanta was picking. They weren't going to fool around. And, I think late, as we always hear, Nick and Chris, is that some of these guys start to gain traction really late because a lot of teams that like them are just not going to talk about it.
But would you have spent $100 million on Kirk Cousins if you liked a guy – this much. And I know you're going to tell me there's advantage to having a guy sit, but would you have spent the money in free agency on Kirk Cousins if you like this guy this much? Why didn't you buy established players with that money on the other side of the ball, maybe?
Yeah, look, there's a lot there. I mean, at first, when they signed Kirk Cousins, I would just guess they didn't have the full information on Michael Penix, and I don't know how much that would have changed their mind. In other words, they want somebody to come in now, take advantage of the team they're building and what they got, and give us something we haven't had in quite a while. And, you know, Kirk Cousins is that guy. Listen, I've been a fan of his whole career. He's tough as hell. I mean, he never gets credit. Hey, yo, you know he can't win in primetime. Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. I haven't heard that before. Oh, he doesn't do well in the playoffs. Yeah, I thought they were going to go to the Super Bowl every year. They got that kind of talent up there. But he's a terrific thrower, decision-making of the ball. Yeah, he doesn't overpower it, but he's accurate as hell. He throws a pretty pass. Like I said, he can hang in there. He's really smart, and because I know what they do in Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell. And he puts tremendous pressure on the quarterbacks to be that guy. And, you know, that was Kirk Cousins. And I'm sure Kevin O'Connell was fighting for him. Let's re-sign him and then draft somebody. So when the time comes, okay, we can let somebody else take over. So it's kind of how I look at it a little in Atlanta. But, you know,
did they owe him the phone call? Because his agent said it. We wouldn't have known unless his agent put out that they didn't call so they were on the clock. And Nick brought up something this morning that we talked about. Was Kirk Cousins, again, sorry, you don't get to cry about what a team does with their roster spots or their money, but do you think he was told that this was a possibility? Therefore, does he have a little bit of a beef? In other words, was he sold something that had he known the whole truth, maybe he doesn't sign here?
Oh, I think that would have been a big one. If he knew, first, the team is not going to tell you, you know, early in the process. I mean, I don't know when the Falcons and their front office and coaches all decided this was going to be the move. I don't think it was back in February or even in March. I think after all the workouts, knowledge, and everything you gain, it changes your opinion. And, you know, if they tell Kirk early, let's say they told him back in March about it. Well, you know, all teams want to protect what they information they got about themselves. And I don't know many quarterbacks that would have got this information before he signed a contract. They were going to court him and go, yeah, we're going to sign you. We're going to give you all this money. We want you to know, though, we're really looking at drafting a quarterback in the first round with the 8th pick. I don't know many established quarterbacks would sign up for that.
Phil Simms with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. And to me, that's the strange thing. You've been around this game a long time. Can you recall a situation where a team signs someone as a free agent, they draft someone at the same position in the top 10, and then they say, well, this person, barring anything unforeseen, is going to sit for not one but 2 years? It's just really strange, top to bottom.
Yeah, I mean, listen, yeah, I can give you something like that. It's in Green Bay. That's the one we're always going to look at. Patrick Mahomes sat completely for a year. I couldn't wait to see him play in that last game of the year. And then when he played it, I went, oh, my God, he's everything that they probably hoped he would be. I saw it in one game, but I saw a lot of that in college. So, look, I talked to my oldest son, Christopher, this morning a little bit, and he just says, wow, you know, he – his opinion is probably what a lot of the fans down there have, and you guys probably have. What the hell were they thinking? They could have got him later. You signed Kirk Cousins, and what you do? Here's the practice field, preseason games, but it does change the locker room. So I can't even remember the question you asked me because I get going so much. But the locker room, believe me when I tell you that players judge practice, especially quarterbacks. And like I said, when you see him practice and throw, you're going to go, that's different. And so I'm sure that's what caught everybody's attention in the front office, the coaches, the owner. I don't know who all went out there for that workout. But I saw Michael Penix play in pouring rain at Oregon State. I saw him against Oregon with 30 to 40 mile an hour winds. And you could not tell there was any weather out there. He was throwing the ball tremendous. Now, the receivers had a hard time catching it, especially up at Oregon State and all the rain. But, you know, that's not really a big issue when you talk about the NFC South and the Atlanta Falcons playing in a dome.
So put yourself in Cousins' situation, the exact situation. Are you feeling this morning that you didn't help the team? And you told me when I was being courted, we are going to put the best team out. What a lot of people around here today think, and I think rightfully so, they're not a better team this morning because they drafted Michael Penix.
As of right now, knowing that you're going to make more picks tonight and tomorrow.
Does the quarterback have any right to be pissy that he either doesn't have a guy blocking for him, or a receiver who could, you know, catch a football, or even a defensive player who might get him the football back in extra possession every once in a while?
Well, I'm sure everybody's mad about it. And first off, Dallas Turner. Just thinking of him, he's the guy that everybody said is going to the Atlanta Falcons. I would say this, he would have been either my first or second guy. I was looking to rush the passer coming out the draft. Latu from UCLA was really somebody to look at. But Dallas Turner played at Alabama, and then Nick Saban's not worried about how many sacks you get. You got to play the run and do certain things. So that hurts pass rushers in the eye of the public. But I think everybody saw through that with Dallas Turner. So what was your question, Chris? Hell, I forgot.
So if you're the quarterback, are you pissy that you don't feel like the team got better this morning?
Well, you're talking to the wrong guy. Would I be pissed? That would be – there's no way. I'd be much worse than that. yeah, I'm sure Kirk Cousins is sitting there talking to his wife and his agent going, I can't believe this. And, you know, all he has to do – or the only thing he can do now is just take a deep breath and go out and show them why they went out and got you in the free agent market, paid you what they did and what they expect from you. And that's all you can do.
Where would Penix have been on your quarterback board? Now, I know everybody's situation is different. What's the talent around him and every coaching styles? And by the way,
it sounds like he's at the top of your board based on what you said about his arm.
Well, no, he wasn't at the top. You know, the first two to me were slam dunks. Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. I mean, it was slam dunks. And I can't even remember where I ranked him. You know, there's so much that goes into it. I did not have him probably three or four. I might have had him five. My young son, Matt, who physically saw him in person a few times and saw this, and he really follows college football, he had him as number two. He wanted him after Caleb Williams. I said, wow, Matt, that might be a – you know, Dad, I was there, saw him. You know, okay, and, you know, he's not a really fun guy sometimes to talk to. So I just said, okay, enough.
But what about his age? What about his medicals?
Yeah, okay. Two things that bugged me the whole draft process. Every time they talk about Marvin Harrison, well, he overcame subpar quarterback play. Well, first off, that quarterback's a friend of mine, or his family is. And you are, show me where Kyle McCord hurt Marvin Harrison's production. Everything they showed on ESPN last night, what was it when you saw Marvin Harrison? They were jump balls, contested catches, everything like that. Did you ever see him flying down the field, outrunning people and do this? I didn't, so that bothers me. That's personal. But
his age.
Where was I going? Age and medical.
Oh, the age. Oh, my God. I know. Isn't it terrible? I get talking so fast.
you got a lot of thoughts.
The age. Oh, my gosh. Oh, this guy's 21. This one's 24. Oh, he might not play till he's 26. So what? What? 26. Now we're in our prime for the next 10 years. You know, this age thing is so overrated. And, yeah. Stay in college a few more years, get older, get more experience. That might help you. But I don't get that. What are they wasting his whole career if Michael Penix has to sit on the bench for 2 years? I don't think so. The only thing I know is when he does play, when his time comes, he's going to be a better quarterback than he would be right now or early in the season if he was starting right away for the Atlanta Falcons. He's going to be a much better player and ready to do it. So
what about the medical?
He's 26. I look at that as a positive.
Okay, so he'll be more prepared than guys who are thrown to the fire. What about the medicals?
You know, listen, one of them is a little shoulder tweak that he missed a couple games, which every quarterback in the world is going to get one of those sooner or later. Because you fall on it, you're not protected with your pads, and, you know, you get mild separations. Yeah, the other one was bad, and two ACLs, I understand, but it's been a while. So I know they check these guys inside out as far as it goes to physicals. So I think I didn't hear one team that had a physical that said well, we can't draft him because we have to take him off the board because of his injuries. So
you think the injuries, I did ask you, when you haven't sat and watched a lot and you're going to be told, I mean, look, I don't even know who the Falcons brass is rooting for. I'm assuming they're rooting for overall success. But at one point they said, you know, we expect 4 years from Kirk Cousins. And it was a statement said, we hope Michael Penix doesn't ever have to play. Well, bad thing to say in front of a fan base on the night you made that pick at 8. Him watching while 5 other guys who we think were drafted in the first round are probably going to be starters, what can that do for a player?
It's going to be hard. You know, it's going to be emotional going home at night after practice or whatever and just looking at highlights on TV. You see all these other guys playing. Yeah, it's going to bother him big time. And but he wasn't bothered last night when he was picked 8, so I know that. But, you know, listen, it'll tell you a lot. If that really affects him where, you know, he just doesn't progress and all that, then that tells you he wasn't the right guy. So I would hope they did that kind of research. And, come on, let's be honest. We know Kirk Cousins is not going to play 4 straight years probably for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, if he lights it up for 2 years, they give him a 3rd year. And yeah, it's going to be rough for Michael Penix, but that's okay. That's the way the NFL is. It's probably one of the number one things I always think about quarterbacks. Are you tough enough mentally and physically, and are you willing to do anything it takes to be the player you want to be and to play on the football team? And I know that sounds simple, but it's real. And a lot of these guys that don't have success, that's the big reason why. It doesn't mean everything to them. You know, it's like, you got to do one thing in life. The only thing you can do is play quarterback and do this. And are you good with that? Is that who you are? And if you are that guy, then you're going to make it sooner or later. As the great Terry Bradshaw, I heard him say it once, and I laughed, but it really made sense. To be a big-time successful quarterback in the NFL, usually you got to go to hell before you go to heaven. And that describes it about as good as you can. So.
All right, Phil, we always appreciate the time. Looking forward to the podcast. Tell the folks when that's going to be out with your son.
It's going to come out next Tuesday. We'll probably do it. So probably anywhere after like 3 or 4 o'clock, it'll be there. We're going to do them all. I'm going to go down probably anywhere from 10 to 12 deep on these quarterbacks. You know, who's the next guys after these ones that are drafted? Everybody says Spencer Rattler. But I'm looking for a guy that has great skill. And will he turn it into production and everything else on the field? And that would be a guy like Joe Milton of Tennessee. That would be the one I'm looking at going, who's going to draft him? Who's going to try to fine-tune him to maybe be a great backup but potentially be a frontline starter one day? He's the one that's caught my interest the most.
Hey, Phil, last thing. How much did Matthew Stafford's arm every day in practice and certainly in games do you think affects the OC, who should have a say in this, and Raheem Morris, who was watching it from his side of the football?
Oh, great question. I'm sorry. You know, I get so going, all this stuff. I'm sure when they were watching it, they went, oh, my God, this is Matt Stafford. I can't imagine they didn't think that. And, you know, Matt Stafford, who I've argued forever, this guy is tremendous, one of the best throwers in NFL history. Well, he can't win the big game. And I said, yeah, you know, many times before the season came out, I said, boy, Detroit's probably my Super Bowl favorite. You know, I'm such a jerk. I know. I'm sorry. But now we see it. Now everybody, oh, I love Matt Stafford. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, he had to win a Super Bowl, and you can't deny it anymore. But his arm angles, the throws he makes, the toughness, everything you talk about being a successful quarterback, he has it. And I'm sure they saw a lot of the same things in Michael Penix. So I think that definitely helped him in the evaluation process that they led. Raheem Morris saw Matt Stafford in practice every day, probably hated him when they really did at training camp because he was picking them apart. But he appreciated him during the games when he played so well. So that's a good question. Glad you asked me.
All right, Phil, take care. Have a great weekend. Always appreciate the insight. Hopefully we can talk again real soon as the preseason. It'll be here before you know it. Training camp and everything else happens.
Well, listen, I want you to say that when I come down there, because I'm coming to training camp, when I get down there, I'll yell at you, and we'll have some discussions then.
Absolutely. You're more than welcome to come in the studio with us. We'll buy you lunch, Phil. That's what we'll do for you.
You'll do what?
We'll buy you lunch.
You buy me lunch. Well,
yeah.
You know, there's one thing I am a definite Hall of Fame eater. I can eat with anybody.
Then so it's going to happen.
All right.
Thanks,
hey,
Phil.
Thanks for having me on. You guys have a great day.
Talk soon.
Phil Sims with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Are you familiar with Andy Behrens? Because no. Chris and Phil Sims are going to talk probably about Spencer Rattler, as he said during the podcast. This is a Yahoo fantasy guy who's got almost 70,000 followers.
Okay.
He says he's hearing Spencer Rattler is very much in play for Atlanta with the 43rd overall pick. So they're going to take every remaining quarterback, apparently. Just completely retool.
Hold on. When did he type that? When did he is that today?
Yes.
Did he not know who they picked last night?
This came out at noon. So they're going to completely...
this guy slept in this morning is what you're saying.
They're going to revolutionize their offense. They're going to run a four-quarterback offense. You don't know who's going to get the snap. It's going to be similar to a single wing.
This is awesome.
You're going to line up four quarterbacks. We don't know who's going to get the ball.
What are they going to tell Arthur? Trust us. We got it.
I'm not really sure they have to say much to Arthur anymore. I'm really starting to have my doubts. I had him before. I really have him now. What I do know is whenever the Braves hit a home run, they were off last night, you can save some money all season because you'll score an instant round trip or discount on a set of Goodyear or Cooper tires the next day only. So if something happens tonight, tomorrow with tire discounters, plus you'll get a free alignment and free oil change with your tire purchase. The more home runs the Braves hit, the bigger the deals at tire discounters. Learn more at tireddiscounters.com/Braves.
You want to have maybe a former general manager join us maybe around 120?
Billy Devaney?
Yeah, Billy Devaney. Well, he's pretty honest, man.
It goes back to his philosophy, and I would love to get his honest opinion as far as what happened, because I think he's probably, if I had to guess, just as shocked as the rest of us, if I had to guess.
I don't want to give it away, but I would lean towards yes.
You just did.
Okay.
Give it away. Some of the funniest explanations and reasons for the Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr. We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll go on campus at the top of the hour. Billy Devaney around 120. Cellini Domino on the road. Here we are at TPC Sugarloaf, the opening round of the Mitsubishi Electric Classic ongoing. It's Cellini and Domino on the Fan, 680-93.7 FM and the Fan app.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation, like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Nobody's crying for Kirk Cousins, but I'm looking for answers for Falcons fans who are waking up this morning with the same question that, what are we doing? Like, that's just a simple question. We're doing the Jordan Love formula. There's a few slight, really key differences between the Atlanta Falcons and the Green Bay Packers. The year prior to drafting Jordan Love, they were a 13-win team. The Atlanta Falcons doing the Jordan Love family haven't been to the playoffs in 7 years.
Hello there.
And there's a lot more. Kyle Brandt there from the NFL Network talking about Michael Penix Jr. going 8th overall. Cellini Domino. It's the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. TPC Sugarloaf is where we are. The opening round of the Mitsubishi Classic ongoing. It's the least popular, least accurate analogy that you can throw out there. This Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers deal. There's nothing that situation has in common with this situation, aside from you drafting a quarterback. Nothing else. Nothing.
Yeah, they were a playoff team, those teams, and they took somebody at the back end of the first, knowing that they had a more control, at least one more controllable year. They didn't need a quarterback, but they wanted the one more controllable year. It's why, who jumped back in to get Lamar? Baltimore. When they did that, though, part of that was also thinking, wow, we get another controllable year because he was a first-round pick. That's sort of what Green Bay did.
And you took Aaron Rodgers 24th when you had Brett Favre, and you took Jordan Love 26th when you had Aaron Rodgers. You were already a playoff team, and they weren't top 10 picks. And I heard a caller, to repeat myself in case you missed the beginning of the show, I was listening to the locker room this morning who was a Green Bay fan saying, look, those teams were good after that, but they were missing some pieces. If you don't remember, they didn't win championships because maybe, just maybe, those picks cost you. Big picture. You won the one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, but maybe you could have won a few more. Who knows? Maybe
Great
he's still
pick,
there playing.
Terry Fontenot, you're an idiot.
Yeah, and the other part about that is if you lose a playoff game because you bought Kirk Cousins and you brought in an OC and a brand new coach because you thought they were going to use the parts and the pieces better, lose a game in the playoffs and have it be because you don't sack a quarterback, have it be because a corner gets beat, have it be because all of a sudden you were light in the receiving room because somebody's either banged up or not playing. And then it's going to be, you know what would have happened if we had that guy? Right or wrong, it doesn't matter. You're allowed to say that out loud. Had we drafted at 8, a guy would have helped us in this game, we could have been one step closer to a Super Bowl.
So Latu with the Colts, Dallas Turner with the Vikings, Quinnen Mitchell with the Eagles. You're going to keep an eye as a Falcons fan on those three, but especially the two edge rushers. If they get double-digit sacks and this guy's sitting for 2 years, and as you said, you don't have sustained success, oh boy. You're going to have another one of those situations
and
that we've seen way too many times in this town.
So what if you have to reach now in the second round for a pass rusher or an edge guy? What is that doing to him? Well, we didn't take Dallas Turner. You're up. That's not a great place for a young guy to be either.
Not in the least. And somebody said, well, Dallas Turner, you know, he dropped and he wasn't worthy of getting picked 8th overall. Well, a lot of people are going to tell you that Michael Penix was a reach at number 8, too. So, you know, there's a flip side to that coin.
Well, who doesn't think Michael Penix, whether it's the medicals or anything else, who doesn't think? Now, again, his arm talent might be there, but I didn't hear about Michael Penix being guy until you had a rush of what? The quarterbacks that you had the rush on.
Talking about various people on social media that want to be the contrarians. Well, what did Dallas Turner do? Nick Saban couldn't get the best out of Dallas Turner. Yeah, he was only the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Other than that, ask Kirby about how he changed that whole game when Saban started moving him around in the SEC championship game last year.
Anyway. What do you think the percentage is? Like we like to do on scientific stuff. What do you think the percentage is of Falcons fans who are fed up? Because social media is a much easier place to go say you're fed up than, hey, I really love that pick. There's some pushback because nothing's 100%. And there's some things that would say if Michael Penix is the guy, then you did the right thing. Doesn't matter about the guy. The situation just really feels off. That's all it is.
That's it.
It's not a knock on the player.
Not at all. Not in the least.
The situation feels off.
You have a top 10 pick that's going to sit for 2 years. And as of today, knowing that you have more picks tonight and tomorrow at the football team.
Right. And you could have taken your $100 million. Let's just call it $100. Let's not even say $160 or $180 of Kirk Cousins. By the way, I think the number is if you get rid of him after 2, you're going to take a $25 million cap hit, which basically means think of how expensive Michael Penix really
is. Makes less sense as time goes by, as we figure out more and more, especially on the monetary end of things. So on social media, you talked about what people were saying. One tweet on X, okay, tell us the truth. The Falcons secretly own the sports talk stations and do this for ratings.
Oh, that's funny.
The Falcons quarterback room has 2 torn ACLs. Two shoulder injuries, and a torn Achilles. When you add it all up, that's another tweet that came around last night. Maybe the Falcons are waiting on physicals and trading with the Rams after the draft. I'm grasping at straws here, said somebody else. And then finally, Fontenot is either an idiot or he is sabotaging the Falcons as a mole.
Oh my goodness.
For the Saints.
Oh my goodness. It came back to the Saints thing?
Someone else said Terry F. will soon reveal himself as a double agent for the Saints.
Great kid, Terry Fontenot. You're an idiot.
Listen, if you didn't laugh, we cry. Yeah. We have no choice. You got to laugh. It's gallows humor at this point when you talk about what the Falcons did. Billy Devaney will talk about it. I'm sure he's got some strong opinions in about 20 minutes from now. Nick Saban takes a shot at this dog drafted in the first round. We'll go on campus next here on Cellini and Domino. Want to remind folks that the 1 o'clock hour is brought to you by the fine folks over at AquaGuard. Notice cracked bricks, floor gaps, or bowed basement walls. The experts from AquaGuard can provide a free inspection. If you're ready to fix your sagging, bouncy floors, visit AquaGuard.net. What did Nick Saban have to say about this dog? Find out next. Cellini Domino here at TPC Sugarloaf, the site of the opening round all weekend long. In fact, it's going on the Mitsubishi Classic. It's the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I
treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.